Hey Mac Geeks, it's Friday, January 21st, 2005. This is your MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by Mac Geek. I'm Adam, and this is the show where we discuss all things Macintosh. Okay, so it looks like ThinkSecret has got a whole new batch of rumors for us. We've got rumors galore. So let me jump right into what they're saying. They are reporting some information on the next iPod Mini. The code name is Q22B, and apparently inside Apple, the code name is called OSIRIS. The rumor is that they're going to be replacing that 4GB Hitachi drive with a 5GB Seagate drive, so you're going to get one more gigabyte for your buck. The reason they're going with Seagate is because apparently Hitachi does not make a 5GB drive, although Hitachi has reported that they will have 8GB and 10GB drives out by the end of the year. So maybe by Christmas we'll be seeing Apple switch back to those Hitachi drives and seeing 8 or 10GB iPod minis. But in addition to the hard drive bump, it looks like there is the possibility for also some new iPod colors. So we'll just have to wait and see. I think they're reporting that the new models should be ready sometime in February, and then in terms of manufacturing, and then we should see them in the next few months following that hit the market. So look forward to those new iPod minis. They're also reporting that the fifth generation iPod is underway. Its code name is Q98. I don't know what's up with these Apple code names, all these Q code names. If anybody has any insight into why Apple's using this Q naming scheme for their code names, please drop me an email and let me know what's going on there. But it's thought that Apple will be hitting up Toshiba for their new 80GB 1.8-inch hard drive to be used possibly in the new fifth-generation iPod. They're also saying that apparently there's a new 40GB drive that only uses one platter. The current versions of the 40GB iPod use actually two 20GB platters in one drive enclosure, and apparently if Apple can get their hands on the one platter 40GB drive from Toshiba, they'll be able to make that iPod, the 40GB iPod, just as thin as the current 4th generation 20GB iPod. So thinner iPods, more storage, look for those coming out probably late in the year, but we'll just have to see. And then last thing is that PowerBook speed bump that we talked about, we thought might be rumored at Macworld. It looks like that's still underway and could happen as early as this Tuesday, January 25th. And if not, then maybe look for it in early February around the 2nd. We mentioned on the previous show the speed bump is going to be from the 1.33 gigahertz G4 on the 12-inch PowerBook to the 1.5 gigahertz. And on the 15 and 17-inch models, the 1.5 gigahertz G4 will be replaced by the 1.67 gigahertz model. They're also saying they're going to add faster hard drives, I believe, bumping them up to 7200 RPM drives, which will help with video applications, adding more video memory at the high end, and Bluetooth modules. You can go back and listen to the previous MacCasts to hear the full details on that, or just look online to see the specs over at thinksecret.com. All right, the next thing that's happening is today Mac Mini started showing up on Target.com. So it looks like Apple has a brand new distribution channel for the Mac Mini over at Target. Apparently, there's no information on whether Mac Minis will be available in retail stores, but I can only assume that it would follow. But they are available on Target.com. And I have a link in the show notes to the product page for the 40GB Mac Mini. And someone else pointed out online something interesting, and that's that Target always has online coupons. And currently, I guess there's available 10% off coupons. So you could get $50 off your Mac Mini if you order it from Target.com. But I guess they are back ordered for, I believe, like 2 to 6 weeks. So if you do put an order in, you're going to have to wait, but you might be able to save $50, so maybe it's worth it. But it's great to see that Apple has another distribution channel in a store like Target, or with a store like Target. You know, it's someplace we haven't seen Macs before, and Apple's getting their foot in the door. You know, how long before we start seeing Macs at Walmart and other, you know, chain retailers? This is going to be really interesting. The Mac Mini is going to open some doors for marketing and distribution, I think, that Apple didn't have available to them before. So we'll just have to wait and see. Tomorrow, I am personally going out to. There's a bunch of events going on, I guess, all over the place. The Apple stores all over the country are supposedly opening up an hour early to debut the new Mac Mini, iLife 05, and the new iWork suite. I'm going to be going to my local CompUSA early in the morning to check out all that stuff. Specifically, I'm going to pick up iLife 05, and once I get that installed and used it, I will give you guys all my personal review. Hopefully, I'll get to see a Mac Mini, although I do know the store I called mentioned they only have three in stock. They got three in today that they're going to be putting on sale tomorrow, so those are going to go fast. I just know it. If you're one of the lucky people who ordered a Mac Mini, I know they started shipping and you got your hands on one, or if you're going to be able to pick one up tomorrow, please send me your first-hand reviews. We'd love to hear first-hand reviews. It'd be great if you can do a MP3 audio comment and send it to maccast@gmail.com. If you don't want to do that, just send me an email review. And you can always call the hotline if you want to leave your review there. Just give us your feedback. And also, send pictures. I would love to start getting pictures from you guys. So, picture of you with your new iPod Shuffle, picture of you with your new Mac Mini, or just show me a picture of your current Mac setup. Also, I know another fun thing is a lot of people out there have different ways that they evangelize Macintosh, either through stickers or haircuts or whatever your Apple style is. If you have something you want to show off, send me pictures and maybe we can start adding them to the blog, to the website, maccast.com, and start sharing them with everybody. I think that would be a lot of fun and help promote the community of the Maccast, which is growing, and I thank you guys for that. All right, there is a great article over on Macworld. There's a link in the show notes, and the article is titled "Mac Mini from the Inside Out," and they actually talk about something I had been wondering about, and it was great to see, is can you install your own RAM, and how hard is it to open the case on that Mac Mini? And apparently, according to this article, the official word from Apple is that the Mac Mini's RAM is user upgradable, unless you break something when you open it. So apparently, if you're able to open the case without breaking anything, you're still going to have your warranty intact, and Apple will honor it. Might be a little difficult if you've seen the pictures. The Mac Mini has all these little plastic fingers that kind of hold the case on from the inside, and I'd be really nervous about breaking those and cracking my own. But in this article, they kind of show you how to do it. They say the official tool, quote unquote, the official tool for opening a Mac Mini case is actually just two putty knives. And you need really thin blades, I guess, on those putty knives so that they can slip real nicely between the case and the aluminum on the bottom. But basically, you just put one in on each side and then pry in, and that'll push those fingers in, and then you'll hear it pop, the case will open, and the case just lifts off. And apparently, you might have to do it from the front and from the back, so you might kind of have to work your way around the case. And apparently, there's no fingers on the back side, so that's loose. So you just have three sides to undo. And once you're in there, the RAM's right there, it's accessible. The only thing that may be blocking it is the Bluetooth antenna, if you added the Bluetooth option. But there's one DIMM slot right there. It has the 256, which is the stock that comes with it, and you can just slide in your own 512 or 1 gigabyte DIMM. And something that puzzled me when I first heard about the Mac Mini and went over to Apple to look at the upgrade options, Apple wants $425 for a 1 gigabyte DIMM, and searching around online, I think you can get those for yourself for about $160 to $180. So I have no idea why Apple is charging so much for that DIMM. If anybody does know that, please let me know. But you know, certainly I would, if I was buying a Mac Mini and wanted the 1 gigabyte, I'd seriously consider doing it myself or paying an Apple authorized service center about, I think most of them charge about $50 to $75 to install that for you, so you'll still save a lot of money over Apple's $425 upgrade. So the conclusion on opening the Mac Mini was that it's not hard, but it isn't easy. So there you have it. Okay, last thing on tonight's show is I said last week, did a little commentary on why do PCs have these legacy interfaces? Why do they still have parallel ports and floppies and serial ports and, you know, these strange things? And I got some feedback from Nowhere Man, who pointed out a specification on Microsoft's website. It's a hardware specification that manufacturers have to meet to get the little Windows sticker, Design for Windows sticker, on the front of their PC. The document is called Microsoft Windows Logo Program System and Device Requirements. I have a link directly to it in the show notes if you want to read it for yourself. But apparently in that specification, they say you have to have a floppy drive on there so you can create a bootable floppy. So that's the reason for the floppy, and then there's other reasons for the parallel and serial ports. Mainly to, you know, as we alluded to, support legacy old hardware and systems. And, you know, the speculation was that was to appease mostly the large corporate market that you find PCs in. They have, you know, corporations tend to hold on to these legacy systems for a really long time, and they need these ports to be able to connect these old devices. So, you know, that seems to be why those interfaces exist. And, I'll take Nowhere Man's word for it, and obviously it was proven by the article. So that's the show for today. Please visit the website, maccast.com. Always send me emails and audio comments. Call the hotline, 206-222-2788, 20-MACCAST8. And I'm going to leave you with another bit of new music. This one's from an artist, Jumqua, who is based out of Brooklyn, New York. He's an unsigned artist, so this is brand new music, and we're featuring it on the MacCast. If you want to get more information, you can contact Kip at magnumpr.net, K-I-P at magnumpr.net. There's no website, just an email, and you can contact him if you want more information about this artist. And if you do like him, please shoot an email off and let the PR person know that you heard it on the MacCast, and that'll help me continue to get more new music for you. So that said, here is Neon from Jumqua, and I will catch you guys all next time.
To hope that you'll still be fine. My